Somar Mix.
Ven, dime ti que tu can ni sampai hell. Mi equipo pelco quiere sentir un machambre.
What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chew and New Podcast. Oh my goodness, it's been a long week. But anyways, guys, thank you for joining in. We appreciate you coming out back on Thursday night, 7:30. Shout out to everybody who's been tuning in, commenting, following the podcast, listening to the podcast. Yes. YouTube is doing great also.
I love it when people listen to the podcast. Yes. What they say is not that bad.
It's not that. Oh, really? We're doing the one negative right now? Okay, sure. Yes. Whatever. But today, I'm going to cut you off short, man. But today, we have a special guest with us.
Yes.
We have a, can I use the word? I hope it doesn't offend this person, but someone, a bad ass person on the podcast.
Well, why don't we ask her?
Oh my God. You know what? Let's just get her on here, man.
Let's just bring her on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Lauren Mary Kim in the podcast. Oh my goodness.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for being here.
Oh my God.
Sounds like there's like a million people back there.
I don't know, right? Yes. They're somewhere. I think they're under the table.
Yes, they're. Oh God, that's what that is.
That's what that is. Dang, you need to clean up. Anyways. Yeah. Miss Lauren Mary Kim.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know where to start. There's so much stuff to talk about. But first things first, thank you for coming on the podcast. We appreciate it. It's an honor to have you on here. First things first, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how we got to what we're doing right now. Go ahead.
Oh, man. So I'm actually from Stockton, California. I actually grew up as a dancer, and I had all these dreams of becoming a dancer in Los Angeles. I wanted to do tours and music videos and everything. So I moved to LA, and my first job was actually a Laker girl. I don't want to date myself, but I did do, I was a Laker girl during the Kobe Shaq era.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You are so lucky. Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I know. So I actually got to get like a championship ring.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
What? Get out of here.
Isn't that crazy? It seems like a whole nother life. Like, I mean, like that was a different Lauren. Like,
right.
Looking outside. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
I know. So then, you know, I was like, I did acrobatics as a child. Mm-hmm. And so I went to a gymnastic class and I just met some stunt guys and they're like, oh, we do stunts. Da, da, da. You should do stunts. So I was like, what is this? I didn't even know what it was. Like, no one talked about it. Like, it was like an industry that no one even like really heard of. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I just started training and then I like fell in love with martial arts. I started in Taekwondo and then I went to Filipino martial arts and Wushu and Capoeira and Silat and JKD. Then my wealth or like my thirst for knowledge just got me into more the fighting and wire work and stunts. And I've been doing stunts for about 20 years now. And I thought it would be like a temporary thing. Like I thought maybe when in 10 years, I'll just transition into like a real job, like a 9-to-5 job, that's what you're brought up to think what you should be doing. So, but no, I never did. I like just did this because I love it so much. And like, I feel like I have like, I'm a child at work. Like I get to do what I love to do and I have so much fun. I don't know. So I'm still doing it. Still here.
Were you surprised by how much you liked the physicality of what you do?
Yeah. I mean, it was an easy transition since I was a dancer. So I was so used to using my body, as a tool. So, it was just an easy transition. Yeah.
So, I'm considering the fact that the videos that you sent me, as far as the stunts that you showed me, I was like, oh my gosh. How many times did this young lady get bumped into the wall, broke a leg, broke an arm? it's crazy because they're intense. They're intense.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, how do you go doing the challenging stunts that you do? I mean, when you perform it, how do you do to prepare for it? I mean, for that particular time.
It's funny because when I first started, I remember I like had to fall on the ground hard and I was like, oh my God, how am I going to do that? Like, I can't even imagine. Cause your whole life, you're like grown to think like you shouldn't do that. Like, you know, right. when you get hurt, like, so then, you know, over the years you get in your brain, like, yeah, just do it. Like, you just throw yourself down. Like, it's like you condition your mind to think like, yeah, hit that ground, like hit the ground hard, roll over this, do that. Like, you just right. do it. You're like a soldier in a way.
Right. Right.
So you retrain your brain to like, to do things that society doesn't necessarily want you to do.
Right.
Been yeah. there every day, every day. Like, society's telling me not to do something.
You still do it.
Shut up, common sense. I'm doing it.
Oh my gosh.
I feel you, Mary.
Sorry. Can you share an experience or memorable experience that you had while working? You know, I mean, the main one that I really want to talk about is The Mandalorian. I mean, that was amazing. That's the performance. I mean, for that, what's the character's name again? You know the character.
The Mandalorian?
No, the actual character she plays, the one who makes the steel.
Bo-Katan?
Yes.
Okay.
That fight scene was amazing. I mean, all of them are amazing, but that one was just like, showed us how.
Yeah.
Badass that character is.
You could say so,
I mean, when you were doing that, I mean, what was the mentality? I mean, what was going through your mind when you're doing? I know it's a constant choreographed thing that you have to do, but at that moment, did you like just get intense yourself?
Yeah, I think you're talking about the armorer fight, right? In season one.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, in a way, you have to like set your mind up to like, you know, mentally have the drive to hurt these stormtroopers. So, you know, there's some bit of acting in there, you know. Right. You got to pull energy from wherever you can because, like, I couldn't move that well in that outfit. It was very, you know, it's armor, literally armor I'm wearing.
You could have fooled us.
You could have fooled us. It's an amazing it's an amazing piece of choreography.
Yeah, it is.
It was really wonderful. It really made the show.
Right. And I did have a monster, so that helped.
There you go.
It always does.
It always helps when you have a monster on your side. That's true. That's so true. I mean,
not taking it personally.
I mean, as far as safety, like anybody wants to go into this business as being a stunt woman, a stunt man, or stunt double. I mean, what are the key elements that you need? I know most of it's going to be physical, and you got to be mentally prepared for it. But I mean, what are the key elements that you need to be in that situation? I mean, when you're doing.
I think not having an ego for sure, because it's not about you. It's about the show. It's about the actress you're doubling. You're there to do a job. Your job is to make sure your actor is safe and to make them look like a badass. You know, just being a good person, being a good human being, because I've seen, like, you know, people be divas on set, whatever department you are. And I think that creates like a hostile environment. So I think having a good head on your shoulders, willing to learn, willing to listen to direction. I think that's a huge thing because we're constantly getting notes all the time and 50 notes, and you have to try to like organize them in your brain and then do it.
Right.
And then, you know, being self-aware of like, you know, your body and being safe and like treating, making sure other people are safe around you. So, just having like the awareness. Spatial awareness and just what else? there's so many things. I
think it's so many bumps that you think she might have forgotten a couple, but hey, it's all good.
That is the thing too, because like I've noticed like my memory's gotten so much worse. Like I was driving on the freeway and I just got off it. Like for no reason today. I was like, what? Why did I get off the freeway? And I noticed like,
let's go off the freaking freeway. You'll be all right.
No, that's not what she meant. She got off on the wrong exit for no reason.
Oh, okay.
I just exited for no reason. Yeah. I was like, why did I do that? And So your memory definitely takes a toll.
There you go.
Don't feel too bad, because I'm not a stunt person, and I walked into my kitchen the other day and completely forgot what the hell I was like. Why am I in here?
Who am I?
Who am I? What is life?
That's when I get the phone calls at 3 a.m. But that's a whole different other story.
I'm scared.
And you've done not only The Mandalorian, you've done actual video game play also. The one with what was it, Harley Quinn, right. Wonder Woman. Catwoman. I believe it was, is it Melina? I think that's the other one, correct, yes. If I'm not mistaken. Doing those, that's a whole different aspect. Consider the fact that I believe you're in a green suit, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, doing that, how does that go about? I mean, is it a little bit more difficult with somebody else in front of you, you know, pretty much sparring? I guess we would call it sparring with somebody else.
Actually, first, it's actually a mocap suit. So we don't wear green screen suits. It's actually like a black outfit that is like Velcro-y. And then they put all these points on different like hinges of like every point of your movement area, right. Like the hinge of your wrist, your elbow. So it tracks all your motion.
Okay.
It's actually not that different from doing stunt work. The only difference I would say is like, we don't have makeup and hair and like all the other departments. So we move a lot faster.
Right. Okay. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't, I wouldn't picture that. I was thinking more like the green screen.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, then I mean, that's we're really not great. In the business, so yeah, we don't know. That's yeah, why I'm at, that's why we ask these questions. But I mean, as far as somebody, you said 20, you've been doing this for the past 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years. Wow. That's amazing, man. That's amazing.
So like no one in your family like was affiliated with stunt work or anything. Like you're the very first one. What is your
very,
family?
Yeah. About? Very, very first one. Yeah.
Wow.
What does your family think about that?
Well, they thought it was a temporary thing. You know, I'm Chinese. So like, you know, it's all about education, college, which right. I did go to school, but right. They thought I would just, they're like, I it mean, in the pain. Beginning, they were like, when are you going to get a real job? And I was like, oh, I don't know.
You should have been a doctor a few years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a lawyer, you know.
Or a senator or something. Yeah.
Is there a go ahead.
I think what, because my parents don't know anything about the business. So when I first got in there, my mom's like, why don't you just book a soap opera and become an actor on a soap opera? They always work all the time. And I'm like, right. Do you realize how difficult it is to just book a soap opera as a recurring character?
How hard could it be?
It can't be that hard.
Yeah, you just walk over there.
I want to be that.
I want to be in your soap opera. All right. Get to work.
What am I doing? Yeah. You're throwing something at me? Am I going up a ball, throwing up a wall? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Is there a specific, can you tell us about a specific stunt that you, at the moment when you were doing, it's kind of difficult, but at the end you succeeded? Is there anything particular in your career so far that you said, man, this is one of the most difficult stunts I've done, but it's memorable. It sticks to the back of your mind. Considering the fact that you don't have memory loss, but to the back of your mind.
I think the one of the most scary ones I did was a car hit where you actually get hit by a car. And, you know, you always say you want to do them for work because, you know, it's kind of cool. Right. But at the time, I mean, I just wanted it to be over because it was in rain and I had so then it was a little unpredictable. The windshield and the hood. Yeah, the hood was like really slippery, so I slipped up, and everyone thought I landed on my neck.
Oh, so they were
freaking out, but I didn't. But it looked like I did. So, right. But I did experience some trauma on that because I like literally slept all weekend. I was so exhausted, and probably from the stress. So I was just happy that was over.
Yeah, I mean that because like we were talking about, it seems like a very physically tasking.
Yeah,
kind of job, but. I mean, what do you do to compress after something like that or decompress?
Yeah, I try to do everything like recovery wise. Like I go to the chiropractor, massage. I started going to physical therapy. I do like NAD, drips, like the IV drips.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that's supposed to help with like memory and like recovery.
Okay. The last person I interviewed, she was a stuntman, stuntwoman. No, what is the correct term, please? Because we've been arguing about this all week.
Actually, we haven't. I've been saying stunt woman.
Yeah, I've been saying stunt double. What is the correct term, please?
I would say stunt woman, because
one
day we could be a stunt double, one day we could be a stunt player, one day we could be assistant coordinator, we could be a stunt coordinator. Yeah, so I just say stunt woman.
Stunt woman is the key. Okay. Well, the other stunt woman that I interviewed was back in September of last year.
Yes.
It was with Miss Jane Austin. She's I think she's based out there in LA also, up there in California. She says that I asked her a question, and I'm going to ask you the same one. Out of all the stunts you've done, what do you prefer? And when I asked her, she said she prefers to get burned. She likes to be on fire.
It was.
I'm like, well, you have a pyro problem. I go, but yeah. And I mean, is there one in particular for yourself that you say, I love doing this stunt? Is there one that you keep in your back pocket for that?
I just love doing fights and wires.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's my jam. Like, I mean, I do martial arts, so I just, that's just my passion. Like, if I wasn't doing stunts, I'd probably still be training martial arts every day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I mean, because she was telling me that, and I go, yeah. And then besides falling off buildings is another one that's my favorite. And I asked her why. He goes, that's where I met my husband for the first time. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. I can say, you can literally say that I fell for him. I'm like, ha, not my joke, her joke. So I'm just letting you know.
That's a good joke.
I'd say it. You know, you want to say it.
But I'm bummed.
But thank you. But I mean, on the like Chu was saying, on the downtime, what are your hobbies besides before you go out there and do your stunts and all that good stuff? What are your downtimes? I mean, what do they look like as far as, you know, I don't know, like
macrame.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, what do you want? Movies? What do you like to do? Your hobbies, in other words, besides stunts.
I'm like a big F1 fan, so I'm always watching the races.
F1, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's like my sport that I'm like obsessed with. And nice. Then I have two cats, so I'm like a huge cat lady. So like my Instagram feed is literally cat videos, F1, and travel videos, because I love to travel.
Sweet. Wouldn't it be awesome if there was an F1 driving cat? But
there is.
There is. Really? Pull up YouTube.
Pull it up right now, and this is who we're going to interview next.
who's your main F1 person?
I named my cat Max Verstappen.
Oh, okay.
So Max, yeah, for Red Bull.
Oh,
are you guys fans?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
That's so cute.
I know the week before we did have a schedule. We had your schedule for a podcast, and I know you're very busy. I mean, is there a film that you're doing at the moment, or you can't really talk about it, or can we dip into that?
I'm in LA right now just hopping on different TV shows right now.
Okay.
A lot of shows got delayed because of the possible strike and our strike. We had the SAG strike last year.
Yeah, right. I've been hearing about that. Right.
And then there might be a possible IATSE strike. So that's why a lot of productions like halted or they're waiting. So I think that a lot of them might start in the summer. They're like in pre-production now. So it's been a lot of TV work right now.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to hear that, you know, when, you know, these groups are going on strike, because that means that they feel like they're being slighted in some way. So,
yeah,
you know, we like to support all the actors and
yes.
And everyone who works behind the scenes like yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
And hope that this comes to a, you know, an amicable resolution for everyone.
Exactly. I mean, it is a job, what you do. I know there's a lot.
It's a dangerous job.
It's a very dangerous job.
It's a very taxing job. Yeah.
How's your insurance, ma'am?
No, you don't talk about your COVID.
We don't want to know your COVID. Just let us know. No, but yeah,
no, but yeah, it's like I was saying. We hope that everyone comes to an amicable decision, because you know everyone suffers when stuff goes down like that. You know, people aren't working and people aren't being entertained, so it's just a lose-lose all around. So we really hope everyone comes to an amicable resolution with that.
Eventually, hopefully, just comes to an end, so we can get back to normal and get to watching awesome movies.
Yes,
all together, man.
And we said that to say to really get to this question.
Go ahead. You're the one who wants to ask it.
Have you met Pedro Pascal?
Okay, so I did see him.
Okay.
In the parking lot while we were walking by. Okay. And we did. I think we did say hi, or we kind of met him, but that was about it.
Okay. Now,
here comes the real question and the favor.
Now that you've heard that, now that you've seen him, you know where he parks. Ken, do you think you can kick his butt?
Oh my gosh.
It's not so much a question, it's more of a favor.
And why is that?
Well, he knows why.
He knows exactly why.
Just tell him Chew from the Chew New Podcast.
You've done a lot of movies that I've seen here. You go Rebel Moon, Quantum Leap, Candy Cane Land, Mortal Kombat, CSI Vegas, Mandalorian. We have Ghost. You did one here. Well, Stargirl is another one. The one that caught my eye was Black Dynamite.
Oh my God.
That one, I'm like, that is one of my favorite movies.
That is like what we live on.
Yes.
We want to be Black Dynamite when we grow up.
My favorite line out of the whole movie is when he's fighting the guy inside in the warehouse, and you see the shoe come in and hits him in the face. He goes, "Ha! I threw that shit before I came in." That was like the most hilarious part of the movie. I could not stop laughing. It was just classic.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have Miss Marvel, you have Danger Force, and the list goes on.
Well, first of all, tell us stories about Black Dynamite.
Oh my God, that was so long ago. I had no idea it would become such a cult classic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Near did we when we first saw it. I was like, this is kind of a weird looking movie, but it was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it kind of makes me want to watch it again. I mean, it's been so long since I've seen it. Did you know they made a cartoon on it?
Yes.
Wow. Cartoon Network around midnight or something.
Actually, the movie was based off of a cartoon that was made. I think it was a comic strip at first. And it actually got picked up. They made the movie, then they started making the cartoon.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, and I love it. I love it.
It's one of my favorite movies. It really is a great movie, yeah.
But that caught my eye when I saw, like, she came out Black Dynamite? Oh my, I'm going to go back and really look for her and what she was doing.
We will be looking for you.
I think I doubled the blonde lady.
Oh!
Okay.
Yeah, so I think I was doubling on that, so yeah.
All right. So you got the backhand, pretty much, is the one you, because I know he does a lot of backhands.
Oh my God, yeah. That's the greatest thing about our job. We just have so much fun on set, like the most ridiculous things. Like, I'll get called, like, I think the most ridiculous job I got called for was like, "Hey, you're a dancer, right?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Hey, we need like someone that can like go on the like just do some pole tricks and then like take a couple like reactions and fall, but you're gonna do it as a clown stripper."
Oh gosh. So, like, you're like, what's the pay?
I was like, screw it, like sign me up because that sounds so good. Like I mean that's one of the ones you're gonna remember for the rest of your life.
He's doing the math, by the way, is what he's doing. Let me raise that. Hold on. I don't see it.
It was the most ridiculous job ever. But like, I literally had like makeup that looked like the Joker. Like they made my mouth like a wide red. I was like, oh my God, you can't make this up. This is insane.
We gotta find that movie.
We're gonna find that movie now. We're gonna research it and we're gonna find it.
Yes, we're gonna find it.
I still haven't even seen it, actually. I should go watch it. Actually,
we are gonna make this thing blow up so big.
Oh no.
No, and we're bringing next year I'm gonna talk to Ramsey. Shout out to Ramsey, man, coming on the podcast last week for the Comic Con, South Texas Comic Con. We're gonna get Ramsey to bring you down so we can see that movie together.
Yeah, it's gonna be a thing. We're gonna build a festival around this movie.
I mean, it'll be the first time I see it, so yeah.
What better
private screening?
Yeah. Oh my God. We'll sell tickets.
It's gonna be wonderful.
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
that's great.
Consider the fact that you've done so many movies, so many stunts in your career. Is there one in particularly show or series that you would love to be part of that you say, "Man, I just hope I get the call," or you throw your name in the hat and say, "Hey, I'm in, just, you know, give me the green light"?
Oh, for like future projects?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so many. There's like, I heard there's like going to be a Moana.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's right.
That
yeah.
would be really cool to work on. Of course, Mandalorian the movie would be like, I just want to, because I heard that would be the last one, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's going to be the big one.
Yeah, it's going to be the huge one. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
consider, like I said, I mean, so many movies. You are literally a diamond in the rough, man. Because I don't know. I've seen so many stunts from different people and everything. But watching that role that you sent me, I was like, I was literally going, ooh, ow, ah, damn. I'm like, Jesus.
I was sitting next to him while I was watching it. Yeah, he was.
I go, this lady must have great insurance, man. Especially that one where she gets pulled across the room into the back corner of the wall, into the television. That was crazy on that video. I'm like, oh my gosh, is that done by a pull rope? They pull you from your back and they stretch you straight back, or?
Yeah, that's wire work. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's wire work. Okay. That's wire work.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, just we were talking about it too, just the technicality of all of these things. Well, first of all, you know, kudos to you for keeping everything straight and not getting hurt or anything.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, kudos to everyone that you work with too. They're just amazing too. And you know, we appreciate all the hard work that you guys do.
Yes. Yeah, it makes every film worth watching to see all those stunts, I mean, happen on screen.
Yeah.
You know, and then having idiots like us try to do the same thing also and end up in the hospital for about a week. But you know, you know.
Remember that time I hurt myself tying my shoe?
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah,
that was great. That was a moment.
Oh my gosh.
But
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I mean, Lauren, I want to ask you one of the final questions. I know we're trying to keep it short for a 30-minute interview. Final question for you. If you have a chance to speak to one of these upcoming stunt performers,
yes.
I mean, is there any advice you can give them, I mean, through to reaching to that career they want to get to, doing films like you're doing? Hell, even doing acting, because I know you did a little bit of acting also on, I believe it was on The Defenders, if I'm mistaken, as Elektra, right?
Oh, no, I was the stunt double for Elektra.
Okay,
but I think Iron Fist, I had.
Oh, Iron Fist, I'm sorry. Yeah. Iron Fist. So, I mean, any words of wisdom coming from you our way that we can pass this out to South Texas RGB down here?
I think taking an acting class helps with our craft to understand actors, to understand how characters work and how to get into character, because you're not, I mean, you're portraying a character, but you want to pay homage to your actor when you're doing the movement and, you know, have a good understanding of emotions and how to portray it in your body. Right. I think staying humble is always, like, I think for everyone in the world, but like, especially for stunts, because, you know, you could be on top of the world one day and then, you know, the strike happens or a pandemic and, like, you know, what are you left with, you know? End of the day, it's just work. So just stay humble. Shut your mouth on set. Like, don't run your mouth too much, because that can really annoy people on set.
Right.
I don't know. Sometimes I think seeing less is more sometimes. Let your actions speak louder. Like, let your talent speak louder. I think, and just being a good human being, because people, end of the day, they want to work with people that they can stand to be around. And that's, these connections with people is really important. And so just be kind to people, that are in your same category that you're up against in the same job, because you know what, you could refer that person and they could refer you for a job. So it's always best to like have that camaraderie.
That's awesome. Well said.
Build those human connections, because ultimately that's what matters.
Yeah, exactly. That's what really matters. That's awesome. Being humble is like one of the,
it's the one thing that really matters most of all, because you could be on top one day and at the bottom the next day. Especially in a team environment.
Especially choreographing all those martial art moves on thing. You gotta be at point, because I mean, one wrong swing, one wrong kick, and you're in the wrong angle. Yeah, it's
okay. Shut up now. Lauren, do you have any socials for your fans out there?
Yeah, social media.
So I'm on Instagram as Lauren Mary Kim, and also have a YouTube channel for like all my reels and fights and stuff.
Nice.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome.
Those aren't how to's. They're just reels, right?
Just reels, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Do not follow her example, guys. It's just entertainment.
Don't do this at home.
Do not do this at home.
Exactly.
Okay.
Unless you're between the ages
No. Just don't do it. Just don't do it.
Lauren, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming with us on the podcast. It's a blast. It's actually an honor to have you come on our podcast.
Yes.
Talk to all the fans down here in South Texas. And
if you ever get a chance to visit, we highly recommend it. Yeah. It's a great place to visit and vacation. So
deep South Texas. I mean, we're kind of close to the border, but not that close.
We're close enough.
We're close enough.
Oh, awesome. What city is it?
We are located in Westlaco, Texas. Shout out to Westlaco, Texas.
Westlaco, Texas.
Yeah. And there's a lot more down here than just South Padre Island. I'll tell you right now. Yeah. So just to give you a heads up.
We're adjacent to South Padre Island.
We're adjacent to South Padre Island. Whenever you get a chance, you're down here, hit us up. And we'll love to have you on the podcast live.
Absolutely. Whenever you come down for a con or whatever, which is on vacation.
We got it on film because she's going to say yes right now.
No, I'm joking.
Oh my goodness. No, Lauren, I appreciate you coming on. It's an honor talking to you, and we appreciate your time because I know you're very busy. Good luck on your journey. Continue doing all these movies, and please be careful.
God bless
you. Thank you so much. Please be careful. Appreciate it, guys.
God bless you.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh goodness, guys. That was Miss Lauren Mary Kim. I kept on saying Marie all this time. I don't know why, but
it's no wonder people hate you.
They hate me. But guys, first I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Let me get it up here. Big shout out to Buzz Bull Creamery.
Still with us.
Sponsor.
Thank you so much.
Great place, man. Infused liquor. In your ice cream.
Liquor infused ice cream.
Yes.
I mean, one more. It's not for the kids, but you know.
But sometimes mom and daddy need time off.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to come down south here in Westlaco, Texas, right here down South Texas Road. Not even a couple of blocks away from where we're at. Look them up on Facebook and Instagram and tell them that we sent you out there. Yes. Also, another big shout out to the Rabbit Hole, another great sponsor that's been for the longest time. Yes. And I think from day one.
Pretty much.
Day one.
Yeah.
They're about to close the doors. I'm not sure if this month or next month. Keep them alive if you can. Go out there. Look for them on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. Find the address. Head out there. Great guys. Everything for your entertainment, adult entertainment, anything. Well, not adult entertainment. Adult novelties.
Yes.
Beer, liquor, all that great stuff. Even tattoo stuff also, maybe you can get that stuff too.
Go now because of great prices.
Great price right now. Yeah. Also, another huge shout out to Ornas Construction LLC. Big shout out to them, man. If you're thinking about building a commercial building or residential home, give them a call. Look them up on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
They also do remodeling.
Yeah, renovations.
Renovations.
They do renovations. Great craftsmanship, man, that I've seen that they've sent me. You ever want to reach out to them, look them up on Facebook and on Instagram and get all the information. Or tune into the podcast onto our website or our Facebook page, and all their information is there for you guys to get connected.
Absolutely.
But, guys, this next – coming up next right now, guys, I took a little trip to – Anybert, Texas. Big shout out to Press Start Gaming with Lalo Cortez. Big shout out to Lalo. I met up with somebody over there.
What the hell? Where was I?
It's not important. But not important. Not important at all. You weren't there. It was so beautiful. But I got a special interview with Stephanie. What are you doing? It's not going to add up.
It's not adding up.
Stephanie Nadoli.
The kid of Goku. The voice of Kid Goku.
And Kid Gohan and Gohan and Kid Trunks. Big shout out to her. She gave us a great interview. Hope you enjoy it. And let's just shut up and let's just show you the video. Here we go. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Junior Podcast, the second edition. This is part two. You know who this is. You all know who this is.
Hi, guys. It's
Nadolny.
Yes.
Stephanie Nadolny. Yes, the kid. Why am I saying the kid?
OG, Kid Goku.
And Gohan. There you go.
Fine. Kid Trunks. That's run so the gap. Awesome. TKO from OKKO.
Yes, yes. Welcome back to the RGV.
I love it. I love coming down here.
This is the second time I see you down here, and it's mm-hmm. such. It's a, and first of all, it's an honor to interview twice.
Yes.
All right. This is so awesome. I'm not stalking you or anything on Facebook, but I have been following. You go to a lot of conventions.
I do.
And it's wild.
Weekends.
It's wild.
It's wild. Weekend warrior.
Yes. Yeah. Weekend warrior. I've seen you up in, I think the last one I saw you was over in, the one I saw you on Facebook, it's somewhere, I think it was in New York. I think it was in New York or LA. Or in LA. I can't remember.
LA was last August. New York was November.
Okay. That's the last one I saw that you were at. Oh, this lady is all over the place.
Zip, 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 zip.
Yes.
Yeah, it's different. Every weekend I could be on one side of the, or I could just be down the street. Weekend I was near Dallas Fort Worth.
Do you have one of these when you travel from con to con?
Yes. Oh, yes, I do. I have some great, I feature a lot of artist work. There's some of my favorite artist work on the table that way.
Yeah.
Promote their creativity as well.
And I'm talking about the Nimbus Cloud. I mean, you're flying on that one.
Yes, I could use a flying Nimbus.
Yeah.
Head to Wisconsin.
There you go.
So,
that's awesome.
Or whatever.
That's awesome.
I am hitting some different spots this year.
Not right.
In fact, the end of this month, I'll be in Wyoming, Casper, mm-hmm. Wyoming, which is brand new. And then, the weekend before that, I'll be in Ohio. So they took some areas I hadn't been to yet.
Okay.
So I'm unsaturated there, and I get to kind of pick and choose a little bit.
And when you go to these cons, do you travel alone or do you go with people that are part of the cast also?
It depends on who the guests, what the guest lineup is uh-huh, like. Uh-huh. And sometimes, every once in a blue moon, I'll be the only guest. Sometimes there's smaller events. But,
right.
Or comic book stores, like Reef Landing in New England. Comic book tour where I basically comic book store tour. It's a tour.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
It's all good.
But the anime, just kind of more focused on the anime spots and the pop culture comic book stores. And we basically just put it all together. Mm-hmm. And then I went up there and I know some people up there now. And
that's
we just
awesome.
Rode around with them. And then I take care of them. And we cover all the expenses and the gas and the food. And then we just go and have a good time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So if I don't have a Comic Con or an event that's like already set in stone,
mm-hmm.
I'll have some free weekends to book things like that.
Oh,
where I have a little bit more control over when and where and mm-hmm. how. I do like to normally travel with my my agent. Well, he's my manager, my best friend, my boyfriend, my roommate, my bodyguard, my babysitter, he's also my creative. He's also my kind of my business partner.
Right.
He's like a puzzle piece. So like he does a lot of the technology stuff that mm-hmm. he handles, recording of my auditions. He works at a radio station and he'll be retiring soon. So he'll be traveling with me.
Right.
I try to bring him anyway, but now once he's officially retired, I can bring him with me on pretty much all of them. And then I just, can cover his ticket with my, we just kind of figure it out as we go. Like this one, I'm solo. It's just kind of a little bit late start on planning this one. But,
right.
I'll just head down there by myself. It's just 48 hours,
There you go.
Fly in late Friday, go home Sunday night.
There you go. And when you go do these events, I know the fan base is very big as far as Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
It's so huge. Is there any in particular fan that's like, wow, it's like a moment that you're like, it just... grab you.
Yeah, I make friends with some of my, they start out as fans, I mm-hmm. guess, and they come and get autographs, and next thing we're hanging out, or, we follow each other on social media,
so we have
a more prominent place in their life for Dragon Ball, like one of my super fan friends, Stephanie, she's down at Goshen 4, SSJ Goshen 4, she's got her own YouTube channel.
Oh, wow.
She's been collecting since she was 11, and she's early 30s now.
Wow.
Got to be friends with her. And then Sophia up in the North England or New England area. Mm-hmm. There's a friend of mine up there named Sophia. And we got to be buds. In fact, she was the coordinator and agent on that booking tour. So I take care of, whoever books me or, we just share. You share the wealth and everybody's happy.
Right.
I try to do the win-win situations mm-hmm. with the stores if they can benefit and if it can be like something fundraiser or help. Some kind of local charity. I try to be a part of that kind of stuff too. Yeah, I get back.
No, yeah,
people
I hear
that need
I
our
hear.
Help.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about the podcast now. From the last time we talked, it's more about asking people like yourself, people there in the business, you know, helping the young entrepreneurs to know what to expect. You know, say somebody wants to do into voice acting, somebody wants to do theater, somebody wants to do movies. You know, it's good. Yeah. Try to get the inside track from the person that's been through there, you know, has been through the business.
Right. You know, and has already kind of navigated a little bit. Exactly. I mean, it's different for everybody.
Right.
And it's competitive as all get out. You know, you got to be ready for some rejection and some no's, and maybe you audition for something and never hear back. And it's like, well, and I guess I didn't get that one.
I've heard that from people that we've interviewed, that you got to have that thick skin.
Yeah,
because sometimes you're gonna get a lot of no's, but you keep fighting till you get that yes.
Yeah, I gotta stay resilient and not take things personally. And just, you know, basically you audition or you do something and then you put it aside.
Right.
And you're moving on to the next one. And if somebody reaches out, great. If you can manage it, and you know, then go for it.
Right.
So, but yeah, right now I'm focusing on my appearances, doing a lot of, you know, booking of travel. You know, Dan and I are coordinating a lot of the calendar. He also helps me with my website and my demos and auditions, and so he's kind of more technical. And he's also my bass player in my band.
There you go.
And that's how I met him, was in the music industry in 2003, and he was bass player of the band I was hired to work in.
Right.
And so now, you know, we've got a rich history with music, and now with this voice acting.
That's awesome.
Appearance, meet and greet type stuff. Right. So.
And as far as the music is concerned, are you gigging?
Well, Are you gigging? Well, I gigged for a long time. That's my day. In fact, Dan was in a band that Bill Tillman, a guy from Blood, Sweat, and Tears, he was in a band, and I was in a band. We didn't know each other yet, but I was with Vince Vance and the Valiants. They started out in New Orleans in 1971.
Okay.
I joined in 91 and traveled with them for a while. I still get called to, like, you know, sit in, or like somebody gets sick. If I can do it, I do it.
Right.
Most of them are weekends, so they kind of clash a little bit.
Okay.
So I kind of have to pick and choose.
Right.
But the music is definitely not... I mean, it's kind of on the back burner. It's never going to be gone.
Right.
That's kind of where I my roots are, all in music and same with Dan. So I'm hoping to get back in the studio, record, because I've done some stuff where I've been, you know, hired to do some like background vocals for people's original music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have my own album that hasn't been released back in like 1997.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to get a hold of that and figure out how to get that out there. Fans want to hear it.
Right.
Because a lot of my fans were earlier than a singer.
There you go.
Animated themes. I did a Kitty Grade opening and closing, Case Closed, and then Yu Yu Hakusho, Sayonara, Bye Bye was the main theme from that.
Right.
And I wasn't credited for whatever reason, but it's kind of a trivia thing at this point. It's exactly. Like, oh, that was you, you know? Because some of the Dragon Ball Z fans are also fans of some of these other shows.
Right. Because
they were kind of being dubbed around the same time.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And then, well, knowing that, I mean, this is going to be kind of difficult for me because, I mean, I'm not what you call like a huge anime person. I do follow Dragon Ball Z when first came out.
Right.
Now that I can't even say his name. he's no longer with us. And it shook the world.
Akira Toriyama.
Yes, it shook the world. A very sad moment in anime. If you're into any kind of anime, it was kind of heartbreaking because, I mean, a lot of myself grew up on it, but caught it at the time where I was like, man, this is awesome. You know, this is it. This is what I want to see.
Yeah.
I mean, and the first thing that crossed my mind when that happened, you were the first one that crossed my mind. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
What is she going through? Mm-hmm. How is she taking it? Knowing that this was an opportunity. I mean, this was an opportunity that was given to you.
Right.
To become Kid Goku. Young Goku.
Right.
I mean, when you heard the news,
I was sad because he's got such a legacy. I mean, that's the good thing, is he has this amazing legacy. He'll never die.
Yes, exactly.
It's like one of the biggest animes, you know, along with Pokemon and Digimon and
that you watch, follow.
Yeah. So, you know, and I think what last I heard is he was also kind of still working on some new projects.
Yes.
And he was 68, which, you know, I mean, it's a long life, but it's never good. I mean, it's always hard, especially when somebody has such influence
on
something huge that is millions of people are a part of now.
Right.
You know, the show is dubbed in countless languages.
Yes.
I was in Italy doing a show band appearance in the year 2000 and turned on my TV in my hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Gohan speaking in Italian. And that's when I finally realized kind of the what I was a part of something much larger than I originally thought. Mm-hmm. That and when they put out the Burger King toys.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, this is pretty cool. Huh? I still kind of thought he was going to die because I know that a lot of things end.
Yeah.
But it just kept going. Exactly. Now that it's been all this time passed, I'm like, well, why do you want me there? You know, what? I just 20 years ago.
Right.
But it's the nostalgia.
Yes, it is. It is.
The whole retro nostalgia. They grew up with it. And I think about, wow, the things I grew up with. Right. I understand that. That's why pop culture in general is so important because it shapes us. It's whatever we watched on TV or whatever we read, whether it's books or comics or if you're into movies. You know, there's something out there for everybody. So pop culture is just huge and it's always changing and growing. And I mean, you got Marvel, DC, you got, I mean, it's never ending, really. There's a whole like line of wrestlers that come and do appearances. Right. There's the Power Rangers. And I've met some of them. I've met some of those guys, and I've got like an extended family.
Exactly.
And then I've met a lot of the vendors and the artists, and I've got a lot of the artwork on my table. Ozzy DeVirus, down in Orlando. You know, he's the one that did this one. This is one of my favorites here. He's amazing. It's like eye candy, right?
Yes, it is.
And this one too. This is one we did together. This is a collaboration where I said I wanted to do one of Gohan because he's injured in the Cell Saga. He ends up with one arm.
Yes.
To finish him off, and so I said I kind of want something like that. And he did this one for me about 3 years ago, and I just saw him last weekend, 2 weekends in a row, for a couple of events. There was WeebCon and Grapevine outside of Dallas, and then the weekend before that was Orlando PopCon and more. So. Yeah, it's just there's a whole like whole nother universe almost.
I could assume, you know, that as far as like when you go to cons or have events, it's kind of those people that are actually there are kind of your family because it's like a traveling
out, or you might go to dinner at, you know, Saturday night we might all go meet for dinner or unofficially or officially set some kind of plan. And then next thing you know, it's like, well, you're exchanging numbers with some of the other guests. It's like, hey, let me hang out. Like, let me know when you're in this area.
And,
let me know.
And those hangouts that you have with your con family when you go, do any of them kind of geek out a little bit and ask you, do the voice?
Oh, yeah, sometimes. Or like sometimes the server will be like, oh, I'm a Dragon Ball Z fan and I'll do the voice. And we'll be like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. we throw the voices in from time to time.
Do you ask any of them to, if I'm doing the voice, you do the voice, or let's have a conversation?
I've even gotten to where I've got content for my social media and my, I've got a TikTok and a Instagram, and I've got a social media manager that I send stuff to, and he determines, you know, oh, that'll be, let's post that, or let's post that. You know?
Okay.
He's kind of like shifting me to know, kind of, you know, get to the point and like,
there's
just certain things you got to know about social media. People just don't have that long of attention span. So I'll do some of these interactive videos where they'll make me and I'll make them, or we'll trade off. We'll just come up with something wacky and try to mash the worlds together.
To
make it funny. And there's stuff that's always trending.
Right.
So, you know, the thing right now is I'm a voice actor. Of course I'm going to use my voice when I check into a hotel. Or I'm a voice actor. Of course I'm going to wear shirts with my character on. Or whatever. You know, that's kind of the thing. You know, so I follow the trends and try to get content pretty much when I'm out in the field.
When you're out on the field or out shopping or doing your thing and you come across this little character, I mean, do you just say, wow? I mean, does it?
On the merch.
You're right. When you see it out in the open, I mean, you're not even thinking about it. It just pops up.
Yeah.
I mean, what crosses your mind when you see that? I mean,
well, it's like, it's just another reminder of how big the franchise is how it's a legacy. Nothing ever really goes away. I mean, once it's out, it's out. The fact that it's still very much alive and it's still, you know, I hear stories about people going through hard times and kids that would come running home from school to watch Dragon Ball Z and then shut the door because their parents were fighting or were fighting some kind of illness or they were bullied at school. You know, those types of interactions are precious to me. I wasn't able to have kids of my own. I wanted kids and wasn't able to have kids. And so I embrace and am open to the kids in front of me, which now they're
You've got a huge family, a huge following.
They're in their 30s. Yeah. I'm like, well, I'll just be the anime mom.
There you go.
Because I had a great mom, and she was very nurturing and sweet and kind, and so I just kind of feel like I'm kind of a reflection of her.
That's awesome.
And you know, these kids come up and talk about the things they've been through, and it's very impactful. It makes me feel like I was really more of a part of something bigger than I even knew when I was in the booth recording.
Exactly.
And rewinding and fast forwarding and whatever we were doing back then, you know, releasing them on VHS tapes.
And the same thing you're saying is when we interviewed Pete Capella, he says, yeah, there's a lot of fans that come up, you know, I'm asking, what do you want me to sign? And then they just tell me a story.
Yeah.
How that in particular character affected their life in a positive way. They were going through a dark time.
Right.
Or it's something happened at that moment, and maybe he was playing a game, or maybe he was watching Dragon Ball, and it's forever imprinted in his mind.
Or something about the show, or the arc, or the storyline, or something empowered them, you know, whether it's even something like Light Over Dark, or the good versus evil, whatever the concept is, or the moral of the property, and what's exactly going on in the story. And what's interesting, and what's absolutely mind-boggling to me, is when I was going through my hard times, not being able to have kids, and going through some tumultuous, more losses, my mom's sister passed, and like all these things were happening, and my job came to an end. I had to kind of get down to the bottom and rebuild my life, rise of the Phoenix. And so my fans, and getting out and doing conventions, when people were starting to reach out to me, why aren't you doing conventions? And I'm like, why? Why would they want me? But it empowered me and brought me out of the darkest times in my life, and made me feel like I had a purpose. Because there was a time when I'd lost my way. And I'm all alone, and I don't know what to do. And then I was just like, no, there's a whole family of fans and anime babies, like I said, out there that are like, they want to come and hang out. And that's another thing. And then they bring me their babies. Yes. I'm like, let me hold the babies. And then I try to give everybody, even if it's real busy, a lot some time to chat for a while.
Right.
It's not about just give me your money and I'll sign your thing. It's not that. It's not that. But you know, so that there's a memory that's a positive experience for them. Because you know, you always want to think that your hero is a nice person.
Right.
A kind, open-hearted, compassionate person. And that's just the real genuine me. In fact, I have sometimes, if there's a line, you know, my manager's like, there's people waiting. Like, I'm still talking to you. Yeah. So, you know, you just have to take each. Yeah. And actually, most of my experiences have been nothing but great. Like the people in line, they're waiting because they want an experience too. So they're very patient, and they're like, oh, no, you're good. Or here, let me take a picture, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's, the anime fans are great. They're very patient, very, very loyal. Playful, fun-spirited people.
Yes.
And these Comic-Cons are a place for them to come and relax and be who they are, and you know, dress up like their favorite character. Just feel accepted. And because there's so much going on at these events, and everybody's just like, come on in and just do and be who you are.
Right.
And have a nice little weekend of fun.
Yes.
Escaping.
Yeah, exactly.
Human
suffering
that we
escape from reality and come to a fantasy for a little while.
Have some fun and make, you know, go out and meet people, like-minded people, people that support you, and and people make friends at these events. They become their best buddies. All over the even overseas. Yeah. Like I have some fans over in Australia, New Zealand.
There you go.
And we've done some podcast interviews, and I'll be going there this summer. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna be traveling quite a bit this year.
Oh my goodness, you're gonna be you need one of these.
I need a flying Nimbus. Flying Nimbus, come to me now. And I need a power pole.
There you go.
Power pole skin to fight off the bad guys. The negative Nellies.
I got you. Yeah, exactly.
The bullies out there.
And it's true what you say about the cons, you know, even in science like you're doing right now. I had a personal experience with my son. I took him to the Gamer Expo, and that's the first time we got to meet Sonic and Silver Sonic there at the episode. My son, and by the way, this when this episode comes out, this is actually a big support for Autism Month. My son is autistic, and it's weird, you know, when we got there, and It's so crowded, you know, it's so crowded. It's a lot of people, but
it can be overwhelming.
It can be kind of overwhelming, yeah. But the cool thing is that my son was in line waiting for that autograph, and he was conversating with everybody, something I have never seen personally as a parent. You know, I see him, yeah, he'll say something and look away, you know, and I'll say something and look away. But he was like in his element.
Yeah.
I choked up a little bit. I was like,
that's wow. My boy.
I go, yeah. And he was drawing on his phone little Sonic characters, and he showed it to Jason and he showed it to Pete. And they were like, you did this while you were in line? He goes, yeah, I did it in my line. I was like, he even did a voiceover with Jason also. Okay. But the thing is that he was in the element.
And he was in a comforting place.
Yes.
A safety fortress kind of thing.
Exactly. And that was the most beautiful thing I've seen as a father.
Yeah.
And I had never seen that. But I mean, that's why I say voice actors, you know, computer games, even cartoon TV shows, it's important not only for the older guy like me right here who likes to watch it, but the younger kids that are growing up that may have maybe in the spectrum, maybe a little difficult, maybe there's something wrong with them.
Or they could be like have a social anxiety.
Exactly.
You know, or like, I don't know what to do or who to talk to, and I'm kind of like overwhelmed or sensory overload, and they have to take a break and stuff.
Right.
So yeah, it's always good to be open-minded and accepting of that.
Yeah. And that's why I say I appreciate all the voice actors, especially you, Stephanie. You're great. I've been a big fan since I was a kid. So,
Thank you. No, seriously, stop.
You can hear the applause in the background. But no, I appreciate. I'm gonna take too much of your time because I know you're gonna get more people walking and want to sign some stuff. And yeah, I know you're the tummy. Get a little hungry.
Just like Goku.
Yeah, exactly. No cinch beans here, so this is actually real food. Oh, you do?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I might just end up taking a pack for me. Lord, no. There you go. Everybody got some.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Stephanie, it is a pleasure to come out here and talk to you for a second time. There is...
Thank you.
You'll be coming down the RGB again, if I'm not mistaken, you were saying?
Yes, I'll be down this way in July. 14th, we're doing Pokefest.
Put down your calendars. Come see this amazing person in line. Bring your stuff to get signed, guys.
Face to face. Yes. And making memories. Let's do this.
I appreciate you being on the podcast for the second time. Yeah. Hope this will be a third time again.
We'll do it again.
Yeah, and I'll make sure I bring that little baby clothing, the one I was telling you
about. Oh, so you can sign it for faith.
Yes.
Thank you, Lalo.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Lalo.
Also, thank you to Lalo. No, I'm joking.
No, he set this whole thing up.
Yes, man. Good. Applause for Mr. Lalo, man. A great guy, bro. Great
Star Gaming.
Great co-host also on the Pikapel interview. That was awesome, too. Okay. That was a lot of fun. So, but guys, make sure you tune in every week, Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. Thank you again, Stephanie.
You're so welcome. Good to see you again.
Oh, I'm shaking her head. I'm still here too now.
We're going to wash this again.
Guys.
No, you got to wash your hands.
Yes, right? Please. Sanitize.
Exactly.
Thank you again. And
you're welcome.
Any last words for your fans?
All I can say is StephanieNadolny.com. I try to put like some upcoming events there. It's also got some just funny demos and some music and some songs I've written and sang like Goku and Gohan, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For the kids. For the children. And Instagram, I know, you got to feed that little kid. The Instagram is just Stephanie Nadolny. I've got Stephanie Nadolny voice actress on Facebook. And I write back to everybody. It may not be right away, but I write everybody back. All my fans, all my animators.
Yes, she does. She does.
Yes. If you're going through something, I'll throw you some love and support.
There you go.
If there's something you want to do, or if there's if you want to know where I'm going to be and you live in New York or Maine, I'm doing something near Maine, like, you know, reach out to me. And I usually have my schedule like 4 to 6 months out sometimes.
Awesome.
I say, hey, I'll be here. I'll be at that.
Yeah. We will look forward to see you come back to the RGB again.
Yes.
And we'll be happy if we get a chance.
I grew up in Eagle Pass, South Texas is kind of an old stomping ground.
There you go. We're hoping for episode 3 with Stephanie when she comes.
Yes,
part three. Thank you once again. I appreciate you. Thank you. Bye, and guys, we will see you next time. Ladies, Gators!
That was Stephanie. Nadolny. Great interview with her, bro.
That was an amazing interview.
Awesome interview. Had a lot of fun with her.
What a legend.
Yeah, she's great. Epic, man. She's so... You know, when you meet somebody, you find, you know, they're real, you know, they're people, you know what I mean?
People,
and meeting her for the first, the second time, it was awesome. It was a blast, bro.
Well,
and
meeting her the first time, you wouldn't stop talking about how great she was. I know. The second time.
Yeah. Especially when she signed that canvas of Kid Goku on for him, man. So that was great. That was awesome.
She even sent me an interview.
Yes. An autograph. Yes, she did. She sent an autograph picture to you. Yeah, man.
It was great.
That was awesome. Guys, thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Oh, well, we got a lot. Brian, big shout out to Brian, Sean, and then we got, who's this? Jesus, what's up? Awesome. Oh, yeah, I forgot our number one fan here.
Here we go.
Here you go. 3, 2, 1. I'm out. There you go, yeah. Buddy. I'm sorry late, but you got it.
Either better late than never.
Better late than never, man. Yeah. Guys, I appreciate each and every one of you that stuck around to watch the first interview with Lauren Mary Kim, stunt woman. Yes. Awesome stunt woman. Amazing stunt woman. If you didn't get a chance to watch that, you can go back and watch the show after this or wait for it to come out on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, so you can see where I butter it up, make it look real nice. All right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right.
Stop doing that.
Sorry. But yeah, man, I appreciate every single one of you guys coming out, having some fun with this ugly thing and myself, man. And I appreciate it. And he has the bobblehead now. Yeah, Jay Leno. Yeah.
All right.
So,
all right.
We will see you next week.
Yes.
On Thursday, we have Jay Munoz coming in.
Scheduled to appear.
Great guitar player, guys. Yes. Another gentleman is very good. I hope he brings his guitar with him. That'd be pretty cool to listen to. You know? Well,
what's going to happen?
I don't know. Probably hit you over the head, which I would love to see.
I got a leg.
Man, you had
a leg.
You had a leg.
Your show's going on too long. I'm taking the leg off.
Any last words, Chew?
Taking my leg off.
Oh, God. Guys, thank you once again. We will see you next week at 7:30.
It's almost off.
And always, latest Gator! Saga with some music, jari tampa dosa.